The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome as we get ready for the Sharks' third home game of the year and their first game back off a road trip before they head back out on the road again. They are home today against Colorado, and then on Tuesday they are visiting the Ducks. On Thursday they are visiting the Kings. On Saturday, they are visiting Vegas, and then on Monday, they are going to be in Utah before they're back home on Tuesday, the 29th versus LA, and then on the 31st, they are hosting Chicago. Before San Jose, I would say that they just need to forget about the last game against Winnipeg and bounce back with a high-caliber performance against Colorado today, and I know that Colorado, obviously, they are a perennial contender. They are in their championship window. They've already won one, obviously. Well, right now, the Habs are not playing great hockey. They were barely able to squeak by Anaheim the other night. Their goaltending situation is not ideal, and they're still dealing with injuries. This is not the Habs team of what they were recently. They're dealing with a number of things. They do have horses on the way back. They've got guys that are injured and coming back, but they're not there yet. So this is an opportunity for San Jose to get their first win, a much-needed win. And, you know, they've been there in those first three games. They had the lead at home against St. Louis. They let it get away from them. They were in a 0-0 game against Anaheim, and Anaheim didn't score till, you know, halfway through the third period at home. If you're not giving up a goal till that late on your own ice, that's a game you should win. You go to overtime and then a shootout against Dallas. You got a point out of that one. You've gotten points out of your first three games. Then you had a slow start against Chicago and you took too many penalties. Then you had an even slower start against Winnipeg, in which you also took too many penalties, and you put yourself in a bad situation. So for the Sharks, it's just about eliminating the mistakes. They were on the road. Now they're back home. They know this is their one game before they go back out. They've got to maximize this opportunity. To talk more about where the Avs are right now, we are joined by the radio play-by-play voice of the Colorado Avalanche. It is Connor McGahee. CMG, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Ted, how are you? Everything okay?
Yeah, man, can't complain. Just, you know, I would like the Sharks to get their first win of the year, which is actually where you were the other night. You know, but before we get into the results so far this year, give me the 30,000-foot view on the Avs entering the season, because this was a team that obviously was dealing with injuries a lot last year. Still a 50-win team, nothing problematic, made it to the second round of the playoffs. So, again, what's the big picture on the team entering the season?
Yeah, I mean, for the first time ever, they have 50 wins and 100 points in three straight seasons. And the Avalanche have had some good teams, obviously, over the years. The conversation always goes back to the early 2000s, the 2000 team. 2001, obviously, wins the Cup. Right after that, you have Forsberg and Sakic winning Art Ross and Hart trophies. So the fact that those teams, three in a row, never made it to 50 and 100, says something about where the Avalanche are now. The story coming into this year is the missing persons report. And we're talking about top-end talent that the Avalanche don't have. We can kind of work backwards. Today, the Avalanche put Jonathan Drouin on IR. He played opening night but got hurt in Vegas. And so you're missing Drouin. Lehkonen had off-season shoulder surgery. He's been skating but hasn't been able to take contact yet. He's got a doctor's appointment coming up to see where he's at and see if he can actually take contact and join the team. Val Nichushkin, obviously, has been out for almost 6 months now. He's back in town, and he can skate at the team facility when the team is not there now. So that's an improvement there. He's eligible to come back or to be reinstated on November 13th. And so you're missing basically two forwards who, frankly, should be Selke candidates every single year, and big difference makers for the Avs and Lehkonen and Nichushkin. Now, obviously, you add Gabe Landeskog to that list, who sort of teased before the season that it's the most improvement that he has seen, and so likely we'll see him at some point throughout the year, but you still don't have your captain. Haven't had him since they lifted the Stanley Cup in 2022. And then you've been playing without Devon Toews, who picked up a little bit of an injury in the home opener versus Columbus. So you're nearing almost $30 million in top-end talent for the Avalanche. And as a result, you've had to give four players their NHL debut in the span of a week. That's never happened before in team history. And when that's the case, obviously chemistry can be an issue. They have improved steadily in every single game, and that culminated with 49 shots on goal in a win in overtime over Anaheim the other night. And if it hadn't been for Lukáš Dostál, who, as it seems, is slowly becoming the number one there for the Ducks, that would have been over a lot earlier.
Kamala's message to
that was basically the culmination of hard work and trying to, you know, put lines together and find some chemistry. So overall, the story has been injuries to top end players and trying to find different corks to put in holes in the dam.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I figured you'd know what I was talking about.
What's interesting is that I don't think anybody could have seen it coming that a couple days into, or a couple, you know, a week and a half, I should say, into the season that, you know, until a couple days ago, both Colorado and Edmonton were at the bottom of their respective divisions.
Yeah.
I think the
Nashville
other,
too.
Nashville, another one.
Free agent signings is winless. So,
but it, I mean, to that point though, it's a long season, and we saw that last year in particular with Edmonton after they had a horrific start to their year. And I guess, is that part of the narrative? Like, I haven't, you know, I've watched some of the post pressers, and there hasn't seemed to be any panic. There's been frustration, but nothing that would indicate that there is the feeling of anything that's been terribly wrong.
No, absolutely not. Just because I think they know that the group that they have, I mean, on paper, I mean, think of that lineup that I just talked about. If you have Drouin, McKinnon, Rantanen, Lehkonen, Mittelstadt, and Nichushkin as the top six, for me, that's about as well-rounded and balanced and as terrifying as it gets. And then you can actually have, you know, a third line like they're supposed to be of Miles Wood, Ross Colton, who's been a great surprise as the top line winger, actually his best start of his career for Colton, and Logan O'Connor. And then you have Nikolai Kovalenko, son of Andre, who played for the Avalanche once upon a time, part of the Patrick Waugh trade, who has been kind of a revelation, but what a fourth line player he would be, like he's supposed to be alongside Parker Kelly, who came over from Ottawa. So on paper, it's a team that, frankly, I think could compete for the Cup, and then one of the most dynamic decors in the NHL. So I think the players know that when the cavalry arrives, it won't be a problem. So they can string some wins together, and I think that starts with this road trip. San Jose, Seattle, and Utah, I think off the heels of that win versus Anaheim is a chance for them to at least get near, if not back to 500.
Can Nate McKinnon do more than what he did last year?
I don't know. It's a great question, but if anyone can, it's him, because, I mean, he just continues to do that every single year. I mean, it never before, the best season in Avalanche history, 140 points, and 92 even strength points, which is the most in the National Hockey League. I mean, you just see him improve and improve. I remember back in 18-19, he was sitting on 99 points, and we were actually here in San Jose, and he was trying to get to 100, and it just didn't work out for him. He'd never gotten to 100 in his career, but he had to wait until two seasons ago, and he just skyrocketed up to 111, and then 140 points last year with 51 goals. First time he'd been a 50-goal scorer in his career as well. Not to mention leading the Avs in plus-minus, plus 35. So defensively, he rounded out his game. And I'll tell you what, if anyone's going to blow your expectations away, it's going to be Nathan McKinnon. Again, quietly in the early going with the Avs being 1-4, still already has 9 points in five games. So same with Mikko Rantanen, Cale Makar. So the big boys are really carrying the water. And if that production continues, offense is never a problem for this team. Defending has been the problem. But you would expect 100-point seasons easily again out of McKinnon, Rantanen, and possibly even Cale Makar, who broke his own franchise record last year of 86 with 90 points in a quote-unquote off year for the four-time Norris finalist. So, but yeah, I just think that Nathan McKinnon always says that he wants to improve and get better and be known as the best player in the National Hockey League. And if anybody's fantasy hockey drafts are any indication, a lot more people took Nathan McKinnon over Connor McDavid with the first overall this year. So there you go.
Tell me about the goalie situation.
Great times. it has been perplexing because it's a contract year for Alexander Georgiev. And the season started allowing 8 goals in Vegas. And pretty much in every game, with the exception of the game at home versus the New York Islanders, expected goals against has been pretty low for Colorado. I know we talked about the defending woes, but there were saves that needed to be made that weren't. But, you know, I will applaud Jared Bednar. He treated Georgiev like Viper treated Maverick in Top Gun. Keep sending him up, right? After the accident with Goose, he kept sending Maverick up, and he finally found it again. And we know it's in there for Georgiev, because after game one of that series versus the Winnipeg Jets last year, where it was a total mess, he came back and frankly was the Avalanche's best player through the Stanley Cup playoffs. For the next four games, the Avalanche came back to win that series in 5, took the Stars to 6, and Georgiev was the best player. So we know it's there. Bednar has said ad nauseum that right now it's between the ears, as it tends to be at any position, but more so in between the pipes. And so it is not great right now, numbers-wise. I mean, the goals against is 4.99 for Georgiev, 8.11 save percentage. Onanen came in relief in the first two games of the season. His numbers aren't better, 4.69 goals against, 7.65 save percentage, 4 goals allowed on just 13 shots. So there has to be improvement there. The Avalanche trying to, I think, shake the tree and see what they can find anywhere. Claim your old friend Kaapo Kähkönen off of waivers. And the long immigration process, as our Canadian brethren would say, finally came to a merciful conclusion. And he is on this trip with Colorado. So they're carrying 3 netminders now. I'm not sure if you'll see any action, but at least they have options. And that's what the Avalanche need, again, to try and hang on for dear life until help arrives, probably in the middle of next month.
Jared Bednar is in his 9th season as the head coach. He obviously built this team up, took them to the promised land, won it all, but now is in that mode of the expectation every year is to be one of the final 4 standing. Where does he look at things right now? What's his outlook? How does he handle things? Because, I mean, we know for so long in San Jose when the expectation was very similar, and I can point to a number of different sports, you know, when you are in that window where you have a championship team, the pressure is never higher. But I do, and I've always appreciated Bednar because he always treats it as seriously as he should, but he's never on the cliff's edge, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And when we were all learning to drive, remember the instruction from our driving instructor or our parents was, remember, hands on the wheel, 10-2, right? And that's exactly what Jared Bednar is. Never too high after wins, never too low after losses. Give credit where credit is due. And he does everything deliberately. And whether that's deliver a message in private, if it doesn't get through in private, then he can make it public. And never in a shaming way. It's more in a way that gets the best out of players, which is a coach's purpose. I'll never forget that when he was in the Calgary Flames organization, when Abbotsford was funneling into the Flames, I remember hearing a story about him talking to, I think, Ken King at the time. And he has this very, sort of like kind of hang loose, beach bum vibe about him. And the question to Bednar was, are you a hockey coach or a surfing instructor? And I think there can be some benefits for having some surfing instructor applied to the game of hockey. And I think when you have a coach that doesn't flip off the handle and, doesn't ride the highs and lows so much, that's a good thing for a team, especially when they're struggling, because you have some of the best horses running for you in the world, and that they can carry the wagon as far as they can. And then it's your job to balance them with the young guys and the grinders. And that's a gift that not every coach has. But I think it's what Jared Bednar has, which is why he's the franchise leader in wins and the best coach in Avalanche history. And it is no surprise that he's the only coach ever to win a Kelly Cup, Calder Cup, and a Stanley Cup. So it shows that it's not just this team that has brought him success. It's a skill set that he has had ever since he stopped being a player. And so he's won at all levels, the only coach in hockey history to do that. So that's a credit to him. And that balance will be needed to get the Avalanche back on track here this season.
How much concern has he maybe expressed about going up against a Sharks team looking for their first win, maybe in a similar situation to where the Avs were a couple days ago, and not wanting to have a letdown after they did finally post that first win going into this game against the Sharks? I guess, is there any fear of overlooking San Jose?
There always is, because, any team backed into a corner is dangerous, and I think that's where the Sharks are now. This is the only home game, I believe, in 8. Maybe 9 for San Jose. And it's a different looking team than they've seen last year with a lot of skill. I know that Celebrini is out, but you have some veterans in here who know what it takes. And, but I do think that Bednar is all about building on the last performance and not regressing. And that's what we saw from, the low point in the Islanders game. Yet you host Boston in a tough one after that. You do a lot of things right. You get unlucky. You don't get the win. That could easily have been an Avalanche victory as they poured it on the second half of that hockey game. They take the second half of the Bruins game, they apply it to the Ducks game, and you come out with 99 shot attempts. And again, if it hadn't been for goaltending, that thing would have been over a long time ago instead of going to overtime. So they built from the end of Boston into Anaheim. And so I think regardless of opponent, whether it's the Sharks or the Florida Panthers, I think that the message is building on what you did last game. And that is an application against 31 opponents.
Well said. I will let you go because I don't think anybody wants to hear me ask any more questions and drown in my own throat. So
you could. You should do some voice actor auditions right now.
I know.
Do your best thing possible. You could do a lot of characters right now, Ted Raimi.
I was joking the other night. I was like, with the audio people at the NBC studios, I was like, remember this day. It's the only time you will deal with me when I was not overwhelmingly loud for your system.
And it sounds like it, but now the whiskey and the cigarettes. For a
yes, I know. I wish it was a wild night that had led to this, but unfortunately, it's the most boring life ever of going into work and driving home and ad nauseum. But I will probably say hi to you from a distance tonight, CMG. But I appreciate your time as always, and we'll talk soon. All right.
Hey, go have a glass of water, would you?
Great stuff there from Connor McGahee, one of my favorites. Always enjoy having him on to preview the Sharks and the Avs. But you heard it from him. This is a team that is still waiting to get all of their horses out there on the ice. They are not the team that they expect to be towards the end of the season. And for the Sharks, who have a lot of turnover and Colorado does not have a lot of experience against them, I would think this is an opportunity. And you saw it. The Blues are a good team. Dallas is a good team. The Dallas Stars said the Sharks were a plucky, tough team to play against. I think the Avalanche are going to come away with a similar outlook when this game has come to a close. But for the Sharks, they've got to eliminate those mistakes. They cannot take nearly the amount of penalties that they did in the last two games. If there's one thing they have to key on, it's not taking the penalties, not pointing the crosshairs at their feet. All right, that wraps it up for us. Remember, 4:30 pregame, 5 o'clock go time from SAP Center as the Sharks take on the Avs for the first time in the 2024-2025 season. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.